I'm green now. As I was praying about what message to bring this week, what I heard is help is on the way. So that is the title of today's message, is help is on the way. All of us need help from one time or another. you know, it's just been a few, maybe a year or so ago, that my constant prayer for seemed like months was, a little help here, God. Just a little help here, God. You know, just please, God, just a little help here. You know how we get in those, thank you. We get in those places sometimes when we just need that help from God. And you may be one of those people sitting out there in the audience today. And you may be one of those people that are, their heart is crying out today for that help. And God knows that, and He knows all of our hearts, and He knows the help that we need. We have experienced a lot of grief. Our church family has experienced a lot of grief. We've lost a lot of people. We have experienced a lot of hard times. You know, we have experienced unsure situations, lost a lot of people. You know, we as a church have needed help. And so it's important for us to understand where our help comes from. And Psalms 121, 1 through 2, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We've just been studying on Wednesday night about God making heaven and earth. And we've just been studying about how that when God first looked upon the earth, it was a chaotic mess, a emptiness, a void. Without form, it says. And those words for void and without form means literally a chaotic mess. Without nothing, without no purpose, without no, for just for nothing. And if God can take that big chaotic mess that was the earth and make it in order, give it form and order, and create all of these, the climate, the little insects, and all of these intricacies, and all of these systems where they all flow together and all work together, then can't we believe that God can make form and order out of our chaotic life? Out of our life that is so empty and void and doesn't have seem like it has any purpose? Well, God is here to make purpose and to give calling out of our empty lives. I want to look at Peter, and this is in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 6 is where we're starting. And Peter finds himself in a place where he is in dire situation. And starting out in verse 1, it says, Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. And so he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him to before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So now here's Peter, all of a sudden finds himself in prison. And he knows James has just been killed. And he knows that's what Herod's got in mind for him. And here he is, he's bound with two chains, soldiers on both sides, more soldiers at the door. There doesn't seem to be any way to get out of this situation. How many times you've been in a situation didn't think like there's been a place out of it? You know, just didn't seem like there was a way through. But God always has a way, and help was on the way for Peter. He just didn't know it yet. Picking back up in verse 7, it says, Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, Gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And then he said to him, Put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gates of the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Then they went out and went and down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Peter is just suddenly awakened out of sleep. I remember one time a few years ago when I was suddenly awakened out of sleep. I was sleeping soundly, and all of a sudden I saw Gabriel plunge his sword into the ground of New Hope Church. I was all the way on my feet before I knew what happened. God can wake you up suddenly. He can give you a new direction and a new path suddenly. So Peter is on that path today. And so here he is, his chains fall off. Now he had two guards by him, soldiers at the door, and there's an angel standing there. I mean, wouldn't you think that you didn't know if it's real or not, if this was happening to you? This seems a little much, you know? And so he tells him to gird himself up. Do y'all know what it means to gird yourself? Yes, you reach behind to get the back of your robe and you pull it up and you tuck it into your belt. That's girding yourself. So he said, gird yourself up. And he said, put on your sandals. Now get your garment. We're out of here. And so they start down and they go past the first guard. They go past the second guard. They get to the gate of the city. And all of a sudden it just opens all by itself. Now Peter finds him on a street in the city and the angel departs. This is the first time he really knows it's real. Have you ever had an experience where you didn't really know? You know, is this really happening, God? Is this really going on, you know? And so Peter finds himself, and for the first time he really knows it's real, because I'm not in prison now. I'm standing here on the streets of this city. So it's real. It's real what God has done for me. Sometimes in dire situations, help can be just a few minutes away. So we don't need to give up. If you're in that situation today where you're facing something that's really hard to deal with, you're facing grief, you're facing loss of a loved one, you're facing an end of a marriage, you're facing not having a job, whatever that situation is that's so dire in your life, remember, don't give up. God is going to help you. Help is on the way. I remember a long time ago, I was in a place where I felt like I had so many troubles that I just couldn't handle them all. I just didn't know how to deal with this, how to go through it. It was just overwhelming. I couldn't even grasp. You know, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and it seemed like the situation wasn't moving. But somehow or other, I just kept hanging on to God and saying, God, you know, you've got to help me. You've got to help me. There is no other help for me. You have to help me. And so I just kept hanging on. And at this time, we had decided to go to Florida to a NASCAR race. And I had never seen the ocean, and we were going to have a hotel on the beach. So I was pretty excited about that. I'd never seen the ocean, and I just couldn't hardly wait to see it. And so, you know, we decided that we're going to go down, and we're going to drive down the coast. So, you know how in your mind you can have things that it's going to go this way and it's going to go, well, that was me, you know. I was thinking, we're going to drive down the coast and I'm going to be able to see the ocean off in the distance. No, that didn't happen. Didn't see the ocean until we pulled over the mound into the hotel parking lot. Then I saw the ocean for the first time. This big mound of water was like so overwhelming to me that I stood in the parking lot and cried and cried and cried and cried. Because I could just keep hearing one word from the Lord, from Psalms 104, that he spoke and the oceans was held in their boundaries. And I thought, this big God that can just speak and hold the ocean in its bounds, and it has to stay in its boundaries, and I think that my troubles is too big for him to handle. Sometimes we get into that place where we think even God can't handle our troubles. It's so big, even God can't take care of it. We don't mean to think that way, but we end up in that place. Well, that's where I was at. And I thought, God, for the first time I see just how big you are. I knew you was a big God, but I just didn't know how big you were. And I kept hearing this song that we sang years ago. At that time, we were singing the song in church. And it says, I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh, Lord, forgive me. For I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me. But now, oh, Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart and show yourself strong. And in my eyes and with my song, oh, Lord, be magnified. Oh, Lord, be magnified. Well, that song fit me to a T. Here I was, not believing that God was even big enough to help my troubles. And all of a sudden, I had this image of a big, big God. I repented that day for thinking my God was too small. I repented for even letting that train of thought come into my mind, that I had let that overwhelm me to the point that I wasn't putting God first, that I wasn't seeing him for who he actually is. And 3 days we were there, and this kind of like continued for the whole 3 days I was there. If you can imagine crying for 3 days, well, that was just about what I'd done for 3 days. We went to the NASCAR race. We enjoyed our time there. And we did the other things that we were planning to do. But I also had some more experiences with God while I was there. I went out walking on the beach in the evening. I tried to get somebody to go with me. Nobody would go with me. So I went walking out on the beach, and I walked out along the edge of the water. And I just kept walking and walking on the edge of the water. And I didn't really realize how far I'd walked. And all of a sudden, I realized somebody was walking with me. And I kind of looked over to see if Dean had decided to join me. But Dean wasn't there. But I could feel the presence there walking with me. I just began to my heart just began to be overflowing with joy that the God of the whole universe, this God that made, this big God that held the ocean in its boundary, had come down to walk with me. It overwhelmed me. It humbled me. At the same time, I got the understanding that God cared about me. He cared about where I was at. He cared about what I was going through. He loved me enough to show up in the midst of the awful situations that I was living in. The next day, I was standing out on the balcony, and Dean was standing behind me, and he was saying, look at the seagulls. Well, I'd never seen a seagull before, so I'm looking, and I can't see it. And so his arm and hand come over my shoulder and pointed out the seagull. And about that time, one flew up, and I got to see an individual one by itself. And I was just amazed by it, and I turned around to talk to Dean about it. Only Dean wasn't back there. I could see him through the door in the room. He'd never come out. We serve a big God, folks. There is nothing that he can't get you through. You know, we may seem like our troubles is too big, but God is a big God. Of course, I did some more crying after each one of those those things. But it was just a good time for me that God just helped me to know. The song that we sang, Jesus Loved Me. There was a time a few years ago that I was talking to Marcy, and she said right after Bill died that God had taught her to sing that song to herself. And I remembered that, and I thought that was just really special that God wanted her to know how he loved her. And I found myself later on just lots and lots of times saying to myself, Jesus loves me. He loves us. We, as a little child, we believe that. But we need to believe that like that little child, like Freddie was saying today. We need to believe that Jesus loves us. Well, I went home, the same troubles, but I had a much different perspective. All these years later, I've never forgotten that experience because it was so real. And so I kind of identify with Peter in this passage because, you know, you think, can this really be happening? did God's hand just now come over my shoulder and point that seagull out to me? I mean, is this really real? But it was real, folks. It changed my life. God is bigger than anything we're going through and anything we're facing. Now I try to encourage myself, like singing to myself or just telling myself who I am in Christ Jesus, how big my God is. And I talk to myself and I tell myself what the Word says about me. In Psalms 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. A very present help. So God is with us all the time, and He is always wanting to help us. We often hear Pastor John say, God is never early, God's never late, but He's always right on time. So God knows exactly when to show up in our lives in a real way that helps us and guides us through it all. Psalms 84:8 says, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. I want to get 2 points out of this. First is prayer. God wants us to pray. God wants us to talk to Him all the time. And like I said a year or so ago, my prayer was all the time a little hippier, God. But it was a constant prayer. It was a refrain day and night. Every time I woke up, when I got up in the morning, when I went to bed. But God heard my prayer for that help that I needed. The other part I want to talk about is the Lord of hosts. There was a Chris Tomlin song out a few years ago about angel armies. Well, that's actually what host means. God of angel armies, the Lord of angel armies. The enemy wants us to believe that God's not coming. He's not going to show up. Things are never going to be any different. Things are never going to change. It's never going to move. It's never going to get any better. That's what the enemy tries to tell us. He wants us to think that God's not coming, but God is coming. And he wants us to believe that the angels are not going to show up. That God's not going to send an angel to you. What do you think about? Who are you that God would send an angel to you? You ever heard those words? I certainly have. But they come. And then the next thing he does, he tries to get us to think that the angels are coming, those little bitty baby cherubs. And then we think, how much help can that be? You see how God tries to demoralize us down to where, the enemy tries to demoralize us down to where we can't believe. But God has a big army. Didn't Jesus himself say, if I not pray right now, he'd send 12 legions of angels? There's a lot of angels. I got to see one of those big warrior angels up close and personal one day. At the time I was taking care of my mom, she was elderly and my sisters and I had to stay with her and take care of her. Any of y'all been a caretaker before? You know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, I had been taking care of my mom for years and years. My sisters had been taking care of her years before I started helping. But she got to where she couldn't leave her by herself. She would put a kettle of beans on the stove and go take a nap. You know, she couldn't be left by herself anymore. She just couldn't remember things. And so we were taking care of my mom, and I was spending my weekends up there. I would come through the door on Friday evening. I would go in and pick up my suitcase that was already packed. I would go up my mom's, and I would stay the weekend. I would come home late on Sunday evening, about 5 or 6 o'clock. My sisters would come to relieve me, and I would go home. I would work all week, doing all my housework and all my washing and running all with my son all that week, and Friday evening, it was back to my mom's again. Well, over a period of time, I got wore down. I was so exhausted that I could hardly bear it. And I was just, basically forcing myself. I found myself crying all the time. I found myself in such a state that I said, God, I'm in a state of exhaustion, and I know it. So I got my mom in bed that night, and I went and laid down on the bed in my room, and I was just laying there, and I said, God, you know where I'm at. You understand me. You know where I'm at. So I'm asking God that you would just come and let me have a deep sleep tonight. And if my mom wakes up, help me to wake up so that I can get to her. Now, forever, I had just been, I didn't know this term until afterward, but it's called surface sleeping. And if you've got a baby, you know what I'm talking about. You're always listening for that baby's cry. Night or day, you're always listening for that baby to be crying. And so that's surface sleeping. You never go deep asleep. And so that's where I was at and had been for a long, long time. And I laid down that night. I went to sleep. I prayed that prayer, and I went to sleep. And I went to a deep sleep. Hours and hours later, I wake up. 12 inches from my face is the chest of a warrior angel. Big, huge guy. I didn't even see shoulders forward, was out the wall on above my headboard. And his feet and legs were in my mom's room on the other side. He was that big. So it ain't those little baby cherubs that's coming. It's this big warrior guys that's coming. His wings were folded over the bed so that I was cocooned down in that place. His robes were falling over. So between his robes and his wings, I was completely covered up in that place and allowed to sleep and get the rest that I needed. God sends help, so we just don't always get to see it. How many times have you just known that God's been there? That God showed up, that God intervened in my situation? You might not have seen him, but he was there. The Lord of angel armies hears our prayers, and he will come. This is the kind of thing I tell myself. I tell myself the God of angel armies will show up. I tell myself that he is coming to help me, that he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He has not forgotten me. He's going to come. Because the enemy will tell you he's forgotten you. So you got to tell yourself that God is coming. He will deliver me. He will set me free. He will pick me up and set me back on my feet, and he will give me a new start. This season is going to be over. I am going to walk in a new day. Joy does come in the morning. You've got to tell yourself there is a hereafter, you know, when you're in that kind of dire situation. You know, this is exactly what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David and his men have gone out, and they've come back to Ziklag, which is their home base. And they come back to Ziklag, and this is where their families are. There's 600 men, David and his 600 men. They come back, and they're here. Ziklag has been burned with fire. All their families have been carried away. All their children have gone. All their wives are gone. All their livestock are gone. Only thing they've got is what they've got on and what they brought back with them. That's it. That's all they've got. They're in a situation which was devastating to every single man. And you know how it is when we get in a devastating situation, the devil wants us to blame somebody. You know, that's the first thing you want to do, blame somebody else. Ain't that what happened in the garden? Adam said, that woman, she made me do it. The woman said, that snake, he made me do it. You know, it's the blame game. And so that's what they did, and they spoke of stoning David. But I want you to look at David's reaction. Psalms on my mind. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. This word for strengthened, it literally translates, he literally made himself strong in the Lord. And it also can be translated, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And so when we encourage ourselves in the Lord, we make ourselves strong in the Lord. This is exactly what we got to do in the midst of our dire circumstances. When things are good, and especially when they're bad, when the enemy's whispering in your ear, it's the time to take control of your thought life and say, no, that is not where I'm going. That is not what is going to happen to me. God has got a new day for me. God has got a new plan for me. And I'm going there, and you're under my feet. I cast you down to the ground. I cover you up with the blood of Jesus, and I walk on you like the serpent and the snakes you are. That's what you have to do to them thoughts that come. We encourage ourselves in the Lord. That's exactly what I learned. And just like Connie was saying in Sunday school this morning, it's something you have to learn. You do it over and over and over. You tell yourselves these things over and over. You got to practice it. Can you imagine somebody taking a sword in their hand and being a professional right then? No. It takes a lot of practice, don't it? If you want the sword coming out of your mouth, you got to have a lot of practice with it. You got to tell yourself. You got to encourage yourself. And so I was just diagnosed with cancer. I'd had surgery, and now I was facing 6 months of chemo. And God was telling me that I had to start making these faith confessions. I didn't know how to do it. I was so frustrated. I just like, God, I know that that's something that Mike's talked about. I know it's something you're supposed to do, but I don't know how to do it. So I thought that I should memorize some scriptures. So I read these scriptures all the time, and I started memorizing some of it. Well, that wasn't what he wanted either. He wanted me to say them personally, apply them to myself. And so I started trying to do this, and I was just practicing at it and practicing at it and practicing at it, and I got so frustrated. I said, God, I feel like a baby trying to learn how to walk. And it was like, bingo. You're learning. You've got to learn how to do it. And what does a baby do? It falls down, gets back up, falls down, gets back up. It keeps on doing it till it gets it. And that's exactly what I had to do. I had to keep on doing it till I could get it. Like Connie said one day, it just clicks, ding, it went off. I really got it now. And so you have to do that. And you have to just keep on doing it and encouraging yourself. And one morning, about 3 months into this, I've been quoting these scriptures and saying all these faith confessions. If I sat down, the Word of God was in my hand. I was reading it every moment. I had a spare moment every time. I would lay down when I was too sick to get up. I'd lay down and put a Dodi Osteen tape that had just full of scriptures about how God delivered her from cancer. I just put that on in the tape player and turned it on. I'd wake up sometime later and reach over and turn it over, the tape over, and turn it back on and say, if I couldn't read the Word, I'm at least going to put it in. I'm going to put it in my spirit. And so that's what I did for the first few days after a chemo treatment. About 3 or 4 months into this, I woke up one morning, I stretched out, and I just like, oh, what a wonderful day. And I thought, how long has it been since I thought it was a wonderful day? How long since I really believed that? Because I've been in a place of depression for about 4 or 5 years at this point. I mean, it could be described as clinical depression. I was so deep under that covering of darkness, was so deep over me that I just didn't know how to survive it. But all of those months of confessing the Word was throwing off the enemy. I didn't have a doubt one that God was healing me, because if he could heal depression, he could do anything. If any of you have been in depression, you understand what I'm talking about. If you've not been there, you can't understand that quote. But I knew God could heal me and was healing me, and I didn't even think about it again. I started going back to the doctor, and the doctor started telling me, what are you doing? How come you're different than everybody else? I don't understand what's different about you. Before you tell me, I want to tell you that I'm going to tell my other patients what you're doing. I don't care what it is, I'm going to tell them, and I want to promise you that before you tell me. I had an opportunity to pass on to other people through my doctor, people that I didn't know or would never meet, how God can raise you up from the dead. How God can raise you up from being clinically depressed, how God can raise you up in the midst of cancer and change your life and make your heart full of life. Makes me think of Sean. I pray for him all the time. If God can raise me up from the dead, he can make that heart alive. We can't quit praying for those. So what we have to do, we have to encourage ourselves. So we have to tell ourselves stuff like, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am blessed and not cursed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, and love and not my life to the death. We have to tell ourselves who we are, and we have to tell ourselves whose we are. I serve a big God, a God of angel armies that is going to show up and help, that is going to change my life, that is going to take me into a new season, that is going to heal my body, that is going to make a way in the darkness. I have to encourage myself. And you have to encourage yourself too. So let's start practicing right now. Everybody, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I am the head and not the tail.
I am the head and not the tail.
I am above and not beneath.
I am above and not beneath.
I am blessed and not cursed.
I am blessed and not cursed.
Jesus is coming for us. He is coming to make a new way for us, a new day for us, not just us individually, but for us as a church. And we have to believe it, and we have to confess it, and we have to invite him. We have to invite him into our lives. We have to invite him into our prayers. We have to invite him into our thoughts. We have to invite him into our heart, our mind, our soul, our decisions. And so as we do this, as we continue to do this, God is transforming us. He is changing us from where we were to where we are going. Do you want to stay where you are? I want to move to a new place in my life. I'm excited about what God is going to do, and I want to get there. I don't want to skip the days in between, but I want to get there. So if we're going to get there, we got to start now. You don't get on a journey and not ever move a step. You've got to move. John has been talking about those coverings. I've just explained what a depression covering looks like. It has to be thrown off. And it has to be thrown off by the word of God coming out of your mouth. There's many other shame, guilt, all these things that are like that have to be thrown off. If you had a covering over you, and I want it off, I got to throw it off. And you got to throw it off through the sword of the Spirit, through the word of your mouth. Praying, making supplication before God, standing before him, putting his word in day after day after day. Telling yourself, this is who I am. This is who my God is. My God is going to show up. My God is coming, and he is making the change that I can't make. Amen. He will show up, folks. He will come. He may ask you to do some changes in your life. He may ask you to throw down some thoughts. He may ask you to get rid of your stinking thinking. He may ask you to turn off the TV sometimes and come and just spend some time with me. If we will listen, if we will do what he says, he will lead us to the place he wants us to be. Help is on the way. Look for it. Expect it. Invite it to show up. God bless you. If anybody needs prayer, you can come to the front and we will pray with you. If you want to give your life to the Lord, today's a good day. You know, he can start your day today and just have him in your life from here forward. I was 17 years old. I was sitting in a seat just like this. I was sitting in a seat and I was hearing God and I wanted to be saved. I wanted that. I was praying the whole church service. I could see my sins rolling up before me. And I just didn't have that place where I knew that he was coming in, that he was going to occupy this temple. And I kept praying. The preacher comes toward me at the end. The service is over. Everybody's leaving. He comes toward me and shakes, like he's going to shake my hand and talk to me. Two big white hands just come inside me and scoop everything out. But before that, when I was standing there in that pew, God told me, he said, if you pick your feet up, 1 foot, if you move 1 foot and leave this place, I will never come back to you as long as you live. I was 17 years old, and that was my last chance. Folks, don't think you have another chance. God is merciful. He may come back. He may not. Give your heart to him. He is a good God, and he will lead you into a much, much better life.